Welcome to the 24th edition of HGF's Fashionably IP podcast. My name's Rebecca Field. I'm a chartered trademark attorney at IP law firm HGF, and I'm joined by my colleague Lee Curtis, also a chartered trademark attorney here at HGF.
Hello.
As you know, the Fashionably IP podcast has been developed from the success of the Fashion and IP LinkedIn group, which is run by us and now has over 15,000 members, including many of the leading IP counsel across the world, both from in-house and private practice. This podcast series finds inspiration from the subjects commented on in that group. If you are not a member of the Fashion IP group, please find it amongst the groups on LinkedIn and simply apply to join. Also, don't forget about Retail and IP. That's also a LinkedIn group we run, where we discuss IP stories in the retail sector and also does touch on fashion retail. Now, to be clear, this podcast isn't legal advice, so if you have any queries on the points we have raised, please contact us directly at either rfield@hgf.com or lee@alcurtis@hgf.com. Now, as our existing listeners will know, we have started a series of podcasts on what loosely can be described as explaining IP law in the fashion sector via a series of objects. Our last two podcasts were on the humble trainer or sneaker and then on the handbag. Now, we did warn you that we would break into this series as an interesting IP fashion case came up, and we have reached that point with this podcast. So in this podcast, we're going to discuss the recent decision of the General Court of the European Union to uphold the decision of the EU IPO to invalidate a community design registration of a trainer or sneaker designed in the name of Puma based on disclosure of the design by Puma creative director Rihanna on the Instagram platform. However, before we get to Rihanna and how she inadvertently destroyed the novelty of a registered design, we firstly do need to tell you a little bit about HGF once again. We appreciate that many of our listeners may have heard this before, but for those who are new, we are sure you want to hear about it. Also, if we get through this bit, you can hear about how Rihanna and the EU registered design law are connected.
So, HGF. Well, HGF is one of the leading IP firms in Europe. We have offices across the UK, the Republic of Ireland, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Austria and Switzerland. We manage the IP portfolios of many of the world's leading companies and can do all things IP, whether that is clearing your IP, registering your IP, or indeed enforcing your IP. Also, HGF has recently been nominated for a staggering total of 17 awards in the 19th Annual Managing IP Awards for the EMEA. These nominations included Best Trademark and Patent Attorney Firm in England for Trademark Prosecution and Trademark Disputes, and we were also nominated for European Trademark and Patent Attorney Firm of the Year. Now back to Rebecca, Rihanna and a registered community design.
Thanks, Lee. And I would also like to add that Lee himself has been nominated for UK Trademark Attorney of the Year in the MIP Awards. So congratulations to Lee on that nomination. So, in this 24th podcast, we are going to discuss how Rihanna inadvertently destroyed the novelty of the community registered design of the trainer designed by Puma. Lee, can you provide the factual background to this case and then I'll go into a little bit about the law?
Thanks, Rebecca. Well, on the 16th of December 2014, three images were published on the Instagram account of Robin Rihanna Fenty. The Instagram account was Bad Girl Riri, reporting that Rihanna had been appointed the creative director of Puma SE. These images received 300,000 likes each, and the images showed Rihanna signing her contract with Puma, wearing a pair of white trainers or sneakers with a thick black sole. The design of the trainer subsequently being referred to as the Creeper. A photo of Rihanna's legs and feet showing Rihanna wearing a pair of creepers, and a photo showing Rihanna standing in front of a wall carrying Puma SA's branding wearing the creeper was also shown. I presume that this was Puma's offices where she signed her contract as creative director. Further articles appeared on Forbes.com, DazedDigital.com, TraderAlert.nl, NSNMag.com and indeed the well-known Mail.online website. And these appeared on the 16th and 17th of December 2014. Or reproducing the aforesaid images, and further various articles appeared between July and September 2015, showing Rihanna wearing the trainers, most notably in New York City. However, it was alleged that the design of the Creeper was not officially launched by Puma SA until the 25th of September 2015, when the Creeper appeared on Puma SA's website. Now we move forward to the 26th of July 2016, when Puma SE filed a community design application of 7 views of a line drawing of the trainer worn by Rihanna back on the 16th of December 2014. This design application was ultimately granted by the EUIPO. We've moved forward again in time to the 19th of March 2021, when the Invalidity Division of the European Union Intellectual Property Office, the EUIPO, granted an application of invalidity against the said community design registration, and this was filed by a Dutch firm, and I apologise for my Dutch pronunciation, but Handelmaatschappij J. van Hilst BV. On the 21st of April, Puma SE filed an appeal to that decision, which was dismissed by the Board of Appeal of the EUIPO. We now come to the present decision of the General Court dated 6th of March 2024, which again dismissed an appeal by Puma of the original decision of the Invalidity Division of the EUIPO. So, Rebecca, I've talked a lot about the facts of this case. Do you want to talk about the law of this case?
Thanks, Lee. Well, the application for invalidity was principally based on the allegation that Rihanna's disclosure of the Creeper design on her Instagram account, Bad Girl Riri, back in mid-December 2014, and the subsequent disclosures via articles of the design had destroyed the novelty of the subsequently filed community design registration by Puma SE, filed on the 26th of July 2016, because those disclosures were more than 1 year before the filing of the registration. Therefore, Puma SE could not benefit from the 1 year grace period on self-disclosure of the design. Puma had to show that the community registered design was new and had so-called individual character. Newest is a relatively easy hurdle to overcome. It simply means the design is not identical to that which has gone before. Individual character, though, is wider in that the registered design should not give the same overall impression to designs which have gone before. Now, if an identical design is disclosed to the specialist public in the EU by an independent third party before a registered design is filed, and this is not the result of disclosure by the registered proprietor of the design, or disclosures by the proprietor or with his or her consent more than 1 year before the registered design is filed, then the registered design cannot be new nor have individual character because these disclosures form part of the prior art. Now, Puma SE countered that the application for invalidity was in bad faith because of the contractual relationship between the applicant and Puma. There is an implication that the applicant was in some way using the application for invalidity as leverage in a commercial relationship with Puma. However, the core defence was the disclosures by Rihanna, and the press were not part of the prior art because of the whole design of the Creeper was not visible in the photos, and people would concentrate on Rihanna and her signing her contract and not the Creeper shoe. Therefore, the specialist public in the EU, in the normal course of their business, would not have become aware of the design of the Creeper until it was officially launched on Puma's website on the 25th of September 2015, which was within the 1 year grace period of self-disclosure. Now, unfortunately for Puma, the Invalidity Division of the EUIPO, the Board of Appeal of the EUIPO, and the General Court of the EU rejected Puma's submissions. The bad faith allegation seemed to be relatively easily dismissed, as it did not go to the core of whether the registered design was novel or not, and further, the applicant argued that the contractual agreement was in fact a settlement agreement regarding infringement proceedings before the Netherlands courts and did not preclude the applicant from applying for the invalidity of the registered design at issue. Now, Puma might have been surprised that the applicant applied for invalidity, but that surprise is not a contractual bar to this application for invalidity. Further, the apparent submissions by Puma that the prior disclosure by Rihanna and the press was not relevant, as the Creeper images were unclear, or that people would be concentrating on Rihanna and what she was doing and not what she was wearing, were dismissed. The test on disclosure is a two-part test. One, has disclosure occurred before the filing date of the registered design? And for self-disclosure and the 1 year grace period, over 1 year before the filing date of the registered design? And two, whether the specialist public in the EU in their normal course of business would have become aware of that disclosure. The General Court found against Puma on both of these counts. The court found all the key features of the design were visible and disclosed back on the 16th of December 2014 via the Instagram posting. Also, one has to question Puma's arguments. Rihanna, you know, as with celebrity promoters, was wearing their trainers for a reason to promote them via association with her. What a celebrity wears in a photo is crucial to brands and the promotion. Presumably, Puma would have been displeased if she had been wearing Adidas trainers, for example. The trainers were being worn for a reason, and thus by definition, I find it hard not to agree that postings which had 300,000 likes would not have become aware to the attention of the relevant public in the EU. So, after all that, Lee, are there any takeaways from these discussions?
Well, I think what the Rihanna case shows is to take note of when your star promoter is disclosing your design to the world. Generally, any disclosure on the web is disclosure in the EU to the relevant public and has an impact on the ultimate validity of the registered design. Further, try and file your community design registrations as quickly as possible. If you are concerned over the design being disclosed by the community design filing, you can always use deferred publication. This is also of use with respect to countries where there is no grace period, such as China. EU design applications can be published very quickly, and you do not want your published registered design destroying novelty in other countries. Further, although the one-year grace period is designed to enable the applicant for the registered design to test the water with sales, it can be a very dangerous game to play. I suspect the creeper was always envisaged to be an important design for Puma. After all, why was Rihanna wearing it when she was doing her contract signing? And subsequently, I understand the creeper became the Puma Shoe of the Year in 2016. Further, remember that the one-year grace period only applies to self-disclosure. If a third party discloses a design identical to the registered design or discloses a design which gives a same overall impression to that design, and this disclosure is unconnected to the proprietor of the registered design and their disclosure, then the novelty can be destroyed completely innocently. In short, the rules are keep control of your disclosure and file early.
Thanks, Lee. We hope that you've enjoyed our 24th Fashionably IP podcast, and more will follow in the months to come. Please feel free to follow and share this podcast, and please do rate it on the various platforms. And also go back through our back catalogue and also listen to previous podcasts. Also, if you've not already done so, please apply to join the Fashion and IP and Retail and IP LinkedIn groups. Finally, we should mention two upcoming seminars on fashion IP law, which you might be interested in attending. Firstly, Lee and our HGF colleague Suzanne Moss are speaking at the London lecture of the Chartered Institute of Trademark Attorneys on Thursday the 6th of June 2024 at the offices of Allen & Overy in London on the issue of artificial intelligence and fashion. The in-house perspective will be given by fellow Chartered Trademark Attorney Jack Kenny, who works at ASOS. You can find details of that lecture on the website of the Chartered Institute of Trademark Attorneys, sitmar.org.uk, and just proceed to book on there. Also, Suzanne, Lee and I will be speaking on fashion IP law as part of the MBL seminars in London on Thursday the 11th of July 2024. You can find details on how to book that seminar on the website mblseminars.com. So thanks very much for listening.
Goodbye.